Church, you know, we've been doing this series on the Holy Spirit, and this is the last opportunity I have to speak on this topic. We've been covering it for the last 2 months. Next week, Karen Wilson, who was just doing our offering talk and doing an amazing job, she is our speaker next week. She's going to bring it home for us. I wanted to do a little bit of a sum up, perhaps, over the last couple of months. We've been doing this for 2 months. It's been an incredible topic. And Yvette Cherry, if you haven't listened to the message that Yvette gave last week, maybe you're away, you can go online either to our Facebook or to our website, inglewoodchurch.org.au, download that and have a listen to it. It's a fantastic message. There's been some really good messages about the Holy Spirit, the personhood of God. When I was studying theology, I saw this picture and I couldn't find it. One of my lecturers presented it to us, and it was a representation, a painting of the Trinity, if you like, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it was basically three people sitting around a table, having a drink, something to eat, sharing obvious intimacy, friendship, community together. Have you ever thought about how God represents himself to us, the things that are important to him? That painting was a wonderful representation of an aspect of who God is as one God made of the same essence, the same in quotes stuff, yet in perfect community together. Representing themselves in different ways, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, sitting around a table, having a meal, perfect friendship and relationship. From the very top, if you like, this is how we are meant to be, in relationship with each other, in community with each other. This is God's demonstration to us of how he wants you to live in community with each other. The Spirit of God, the personhood of God. There's all these analogies we've looked at. We've looked at fire, we've looked at wind, the rain of the Spirit, like a river, the Bible says, in some places. There's all these different analogies of the Holy Spirit, and yet he is none of those things. They point to an aspect of his character and how he works in your life, like fire, like a flood, like a cooling rain, like a river flowing through your life. These are the works of the Spirit. These are the things that he does. But that's actually not who he is. They just represent, they point to, they reveal something about him. He's God. Pastor Jess talked about how, in her message, how the Spirit almost stands next to us, whispering in our ear. He's called the Paraclete, the one that draws alongside you and speaks into your mind. When you are troubled, when you don't know what to do, when you don't know even how to think, when you don't know what to say to someone, when they bring a troubling question, when you're in a very difficult circumstance, you send up a quick prayer. You don't have to get down upon your knees, put your hands out, and read a whole ream of work. You just say, Lord, help me. Help me. I need a word. And the Spirit is, what do we say? He's with you all the time. You are sealed with the Spirit. You haven't thought about God all day. You haven't thought about God all week. You haven't thought about God for 6 months. He's there. He wants to hear from you. Can you imagine, as a parent, your child has moved out of home. They've walked away. You haven't heard from them for 6 months. They haven't called you. What do you so desperately want? They ring you up and they say, help. I'm not helping you. I haven't heard from you for 6 months. Is that what a parent says? Well, maybe one does, but not God, our Heavenly Father. I'm so glad to hear your voice. What do you need? How can I help? How can I help? This is the Spirit's nature with you. So don't allow your own guilt, don't allow the stuff that gets in the way, don't allow the fact you haven't talked to God for a long time to stop you from calling upon his name. He is called the counselor, he's called the helper, the one that draws alongside you. And in those moments where you're standing up before a crowd and you have to say something, or you're talking to your boss, or you're talking to your son or your daughter, you're talking to the guy across the road about Jesus, in those moments, the counselor is with you. You are not, this is the point, you are not by yourself. The Spirit of God is with you, giving you words, giving you strength, giving you discernment, even giving you supernatural enabling. In Acts chapter 2, we have the story of Pentecost. And it's an incredible story. And I find it, I'm really excited to be looking at this scripture. There's some keys from the scripture that I hadn't seen before as I was studying it this week. And I feel like the chain reaction, the whole theme has been this story where the Spirit of God came down upon the church, came down upon the people. It's like the spark. It's like the spark that sets off a chain reaction that then goes throughout the whole world, goes throughout the whole known world at that time. And it's an amazing aspect of Jesus' ministry. Remember he said to the disciples in John 14, the Spirit will come upon you, and he breathed upon them. Then as he went down to the grave, rose up from the grave, came back to life. Tarry, the old Bible says. Wait, because I'm sending the Spirit who will come, the promised Holy Spirit who would come. The disciples had waited. And now in this moment, Acts chapter 2, we have this incredible story of the Spirit coming upon the church, coming upon those early Christians. On the day of Pentecost, that's important. All the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, listen to what it says, the analogy. Look for the word picture. There was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Imagine you're there. You're waiting. You're half hoping. You're expecting. Whoosh, whoosh. It's not like that though, it's loud. He's loud. Like a windstorm. It filled the house where they were sitting. It reminds me of that passage back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 where the Spirit of God comes down. Solomon has dedicated the temple. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God, God's very presence, came down upon the temple that was just dedicated, that had taken so long. And there was the manifestation. The Spirit of God came into that temple. And what does it say? The Bible says, the priests could not even perform their duties. Such was the power of the presence of God in that place. There's analogies throughout the whole of the Bible. Look for them, from the Old Testament to the New. It filled the house where they were sitting. How does the Spirit of God fill the house? The writer is trying to convey something which is supernatural, eternal, and incredible in human language that we can somehow grasp what was happening. Then what looked like, see that? Sounded like, looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now let's go and let's chase a rabbit for a little minute. Those of you who have been part of this church will know what Pastor Mark means when he says we're going to chase a rabbit. This is not the point of our message this morning, but we're going to chase a rabbit because you're all thinking it. What are we talking about here? Speaking in other languages, speaking in tongues. Ooh, anyone here part of a church in the 80s and 90s? Ooh, speaking in tongues. Oh, no. Oh, come on. It's okay. We can be awkward. It's all right. I want to deal with this. And I want to state what is my view. But I want to put a couple of things up front first of all. There is a whole range of people, even in this room. Some of you are raving Pentecostals. Hands up. Oh, there's a few hands. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are really conservative. Hands down. It's okay. Speaking in other languages. For some Christians, they would say, and I would say, that God supernaturally gives someone this gift. I do not believe that the supernatural gifts have finished. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue spiritual gifts. That's what the Bible says. I believe God has a rich diversity of people, a rich diversity of personalities. Some people in this church speak in tongues. Some people do that in their small group. Some people do it at home. Some people do it as they're driving to work with worship music playing. For them, it's actually a natural part of their spiritual life. And they would tell you that it draws them closer to God. They would talk about passages where it says it's speaking the tongues of people, the tongues of angels, and they would talk about how it actually helps them in their Christian faith. There's a couple of things I want to say about that. Firstly, I want to say awesome. If God chooses to bless someone in that way, that is fantastic. If it's drawing them closer to God, wonderful. Paul says in Corinthians, do all speak in tongues. The Greek there is metanoia, which basically presumes no. So this is really important. Do all speak in tongues? No. No, they don't. Do some? Absolutely, they do. I think where we get in trouble as the church is where we go to an extreme over here, right? Everyone must speak in tongues. If you don't, you're not a Christian. Well, that's heresy, people. That's totally wrong. But Paul says, do all speak in tongues? No, they don't. Is there some spiritual elite? No, there's not. God gives as he wills. If you want a spiritual gift, you ask, you pursue. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Why don't we do it in church? Well, Paul says in Corinthians, if someone comes into your gathering and you are babbling, what are they going to think? They're going to think you're drunk. They're going to think you're stupid. They're going to think you're off your head. In this church, even today, right now, there are people here who haven't yet really fully committed to Jesus. Maybe you're checking us out. Maybe you're seeing what's going on. We are Inglewood Community Church. We are a missional church. Every Sunday, people come into this church that are searching for their faith, that are trying to find Jesus. We're not doing it on stage. There's a reason for that. Well, firstly, the Bible says. But mostly because I want people to be able to come into this church and engage with what is going on and not be put off. We're weird enough as it is, right? Without making it weirder, okay? I can't put it any clearer than that. So if you fit into that category somewhere along the line, that is my position. That is the position we take as a church. What was happening here? Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Why is this important? I think we've got the next scripture, Joe. Yeah, great. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. There are people from all over Galilee, and we hear them speaking in our own native languages, and we hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying they're just drunk, that's all. Do you see? Do you see the point? This is exactly what happened in this circumstance. It divided them in some way. The day of Pentecost, I said to you, just remember that, the day of Pentecost, or what's called the Feast of Weeks. What does it refer to? What it was this. After, when Moses took the people out of Egypt, just before he took the people out of Egypt, they celebrated what? Passover, okay? If you don't know what Passover is, it was basically where the Spirit of God passed over their homes. It was a terrible and an awful thing, but it happened. The firstborn child of Egyptian families was taken. What they did, the Israelite people, the people of God, they put the blood of the lamb over the doorstep and the Spirit of God passed over their house. The terrible and last plague didn't happen to them, last judgment. They celebrated as they walked, I was walking through the desert, if you like, Passover, they celebrated their freedom from sin. They celebrated the fact that they were out of slavery in Egypt. They celebrated the fact God had miraculously delivered them from slavery. 50 days later, the Feast of Weeks, which is their celebration of harvest. I know this is, we're in the meaty bit, so just listen, guys. This is really good. they were celebrating the Feast of Harvest, which is basically the celebration where the harvest is about to happen. You have plowed the ground, you've planted the seed, you've watered the seed, you've watched the little seedlings come up, whatever grain it happens to be. You are just about ready to what? To harvest. And so before you harvest, you acknowledge God. You thank Him. You sit down for a meal with your family, thank you God for this food. It's the same idea. This is what Pentecost was. This is the feast that the disciples were celebrating. Thank you God for what you've done. They'd celebrated deliverance. Now they are celebrating the provision that was about to happen, harvest. Do you see the significance? Do you understand what's happening here? 50 days after the Israelite people came out of Egypt, they went up Mount Sinai, or Moses went up Mount Sinai. What did he receive? The word, the law, the Ten Commandments. The law came down at that moment as he encountered God in an incredible way, as the Spirit of God was there in power, and he got the Ten Commandments and he took them down to the people. This is all happening 50 days after Passover was the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. This is exactly what's happening in the New Testament. Do you see? So Jesus celebrates Passover with his disciples. What are they freed from? From slavery, from death, from all that type of thing. They are no longer slaves, they're now free. 50 days later, we're celebrating Pentecost, we're celebrating the Feast of Weeks, we're celebrating what? The harvest that is about to come. 3,000 people are going to call on the name of Jesus just after this. Harvest is about to happen. What happens? The Spirit of the Lord comes down. Does he deliver the law? No. He delivers grace, doesn't he? He delivers grace. The law was given at that encounter with Moses on the mountain. Now, the encounter with the Spirit at Pentecost is grace. And the harvest is about to happen. It's an incredible moment. It's an incredible, wonderful thing that happens. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is far too early for that. Right? Now, what you see predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is so important. The law came down. The Ten Commandments came down. The law was given. The people had said to God, you give us the law. What did they say? They shouted it out almost proudly. We will obey the law. Did they obey the law? No. In fact, we see in the Old Testament cycle after cycle after cycle. God would speak. The people would listen for a while. Then they would fall into sin. Then they would fall into repentance. And once again, God would come. You see that cycle throughout the whole book. Judges, you see it in particular. There's just this cycle. Sin, repentance, the presence of God comes. Sin, repentance, the presence of God comes. Why? Because the law can't bring life. The law cannot bring life. Knowing the law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law helps. The law gives us boundaries. It tells us how we should live. But the law can't give life. The Spirit gives life. You see, this is a beautiful parallel that occurs in this passage. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There is a response that is required. Jesus requires a response. The Spirit requires a response. And let me shake you up. He requires a response from you. You actually have to give a response. It's a response to grace. It's a response to forgiveness, but it is a response. You need to say yes to Jesus. If you've been traveling with Jesus for the last 40 years, tomorrow you need to say yes to Jesus. If you've been traveling with Jesus for 5 years, tomorrow you need to say yes to Jesus. If you haven't yet said yes to Jesus, you've got to say yes to Jesus. Everyone, what does it say? Everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. Everyone who does this will be saved. Did you save yourself? No. What do you need to do? You need to call upon the name of the Lord. There must be a response. All of us have to respond to the Spirit. I love Karen's story. The Spirit came along. Go see that guy. Give that to the man. Stop. Talk with him. Share something with him. The Spirit spoke, but she needed to give a response. I want to go on a little rabbit trail just for a minute. When we talk about prophecy in the New Testament, you know, you've heard this where the Spirit of God gives someone the prophetic gift, where they can see and speak something into your life, maybe even see a sense of where God is leading you. That is a prophetic gift. It's supernatural. You know where we get it wrong? The Lord gives the message, and maybe you're even someone that feels sometimes you need to say something to someone. When you do that, it is not your responsibility to make them follow through, nor is it your responsibility to actually interpret that as well. God speaks, but what someone does with them, with that, what is it? It's up to them, isn't it? What are they going to do with that? That is up. Is that your responsibility to control, to set that out, put it in an Excel document, what they have to? No. No. God speaks. It's up to you. It's up to them to respond. And I feel sometimes like we try to control through what God says. God doesn't even control through what God does. Why do we try to do that? Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The scripture goes on. The Lord says, oh, not that one. No, we're back. Just back to the last one, Joe. I feel like for some people here this morning, maybe even you, you feel like you've missed out. I wonder if you could tell me stories about how God has spoken in your life. I wonder if you actually have a deep desire to hear from the Spirit of God. I wonder if there isn't a sense, an ache within you, that your Christian experience would go from just, you know, just being normal, just being what you can control, what you can make happen, to that next level. To that next place. Did you hear Karen's story about the Spirit of God speaking to her and she wants to go to that guy? If you're honest, and I reckon for many of us it is our experience where we get that prompting. Maybe for some of us we've had a little inkling of that. But there are people here who have never had that. Their Christian faith has actually been quite cerebral, quite head. And maybe you look with dispassion, maybe think, that's not for me. I want to challenge you this morning. Is that about God taking ownership of your life, or is that about you retaining ownership of your life? Because when the Spirit of God comes alongside and fills you and speaks to you, He may very well challenge you and say things to you that you are just not comfortable with. It's so easy to just live our lives and just to control everything. That's such a boring way to live. It's not the Christian life. The Christian life is to have these God moments and these God encounters where God speaks to you, you respond out of obedience, you hear the Spirit's voice, you obey the Spirit's voice, you find yourself in a moment doing something which you never thought you'd do. It can be as simple and as normal as giving a homeless guy some money and 10 minutes of your time. It could be as extraordinary as leading someone to Jesus. You know, there have been moments in my life where I've just so strongly felt God speaking. At the best moments, I've obeyed. I've listened and obeyed. And it's been incredible. There's been other times where I've actually pushed that aside. That is my choice in that moment. And it's your choice as well. There must be a response. Let's pray. Father, as we've traveled along these past couple of months, just listening to your word and hearing different ways that it's been explained, it's been such a blessing. We look forward to next week and just finishing this off and finishing it well. For some of us here today, we want to say this. Lord, we're sorry that we've closed our hearts and our minds off to the Spirit. We confess that right now. We don't want to put out that flame. We don't want to put out that fire. We want to hear that voice. Those who draw alongside God, God will draw alongside. Those who seek God will find him. If that's you, just take a moment, pray that yourself. Maybe put your hands out, open up your heart. Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, we address you this morning. We give you permission. We give you permission to speak to us as a church, as Inglewood Community Church. We give you permission to speak into our hearts and into our lives. We say yes to Jesus. For each person here this morning who've got a difficult week ahead, they've had a beautiful moment this morning to just focus on you, that hasn't removed the circumstances, it hasn't changed the circumstances, it hasn't changed that broken relationship, it hasn't changed that worry about money or finances or job or future. But we have gained, Lord, a confidence that you are with us in those circumstances, that you will give us the words, that you will give us the provision, that you will give us the strength, and also that you will work on our behalf. You will provide. You will restore. You will guide and you will lead. We are so grateful for this incredible privilege to come aside out of our week to dedicate an hour and a half to you, to hear from your word, to praise you, to worship you, and to rest in this moment together. I just sense right now there is three or four people that are, I want to say there are three or four people here today that have never taken that next step in their faith, where they've actually opened themselves up to God. No hands raised. No outward demonstration this morning. But if that is you, then you receive this right now. Spirit of God, work very powerfully in those three or four people's lives. Unpack, break down walls, accept their repentance. Embrace them, Lord Jesus. Spirit of God, fill them right now. Right now. Fill them with confidence, with a holy confidence, with love, with hope, with a vision for their future. Father, I pray for those that are without work at the moment, or maybe their work is just not what they want it to be. I pray right now they'll receive this word, that you are their provider, you are their carer, you care for the sparrow, you will care for them. I pray that some here this morning will find meaning in their work this week that they hadn't seen before. Change their perspective. Father, for those here today where a relationship is broken down and it looks like it's beyond repair, right now for them, I pray that they will receive this word that there are better days ahead. There are better days ahead. There are days of joy. There are days of acceptance. There are days of forgiveness. And you, God, you will restore that which the years have taken away. Someone that's in a really broken relationship now, I just pray for healing upon them, Jesus. Lord, for those that are struggling even with any of this, I want to pray your kindness upon them anyway. I want to pray your kindness and your grace upon those that even now resist. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will tear down every stronghold. You take captive every thought. And we will know your presence in every way. This week we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this gives you strength for the week. Love to catch up with you after the service, and God bless.